This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Live from TD Garden in Boston, welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. It is Illini Inquirer publisher Jeremy Warner here, and today we're getting you ready for the first Sweet 16 appearance for Illinois in 19 years. It is our Illinois-Iowa State preview here on the podcast, and we're going to get some insight on the Iowa State Cyclones from our old friend, Alec Bussey, Illinois graduate, now covering the Iowa State Cyclones for 24/7 Sports at Cyclone Alert. He'll break down the Cyclones, what he thinks of this matchup against Illinois, a team he knows a lot about, given that he pays attention to them as an Illinois graduate. But also then Derek Piper and I will break down our five keys to this game. We'll also give an X factor and give our thoughts and maybe a prediction at the end for Illinois against Iowa State. Let's get you ready for the biggest Illinois game in 19 years. Illinois-Iowa State in the Sweet 16 here at TD Garden. Alec Bussey joins us next on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. And I, like every other person in the Champaign media, is hitting this guy up this week. It's Alec Bussey, University of Illinois graduate. So he knows this team well. He's covered this team before for Rivals, OrangeAndBlueNews.com. And, of course, now he covers Iowa State for Cyclone Alert, part of our great 24/7 sports network. Welcome to Boston, Alec. I'll see you later today at TD Garden. But your two worlds colliding here. What's this like personally?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I was telling a lot of people in Omaha that I don't think I actually wanted it to happen just because it's like an awkward position. Like you get it with message boards and everything. It can be a little awkward, but it's been a lot of fun being able to hop on shows with you, being able to go on a show in Chicago, a couple other podcasts and different things. And it makes it really easy for me. I don't have a lot of research to do on Iowa State's Sweet 16 opponent because I know so much about Illinois, like you said. So that's certainly a benefit as well.
What has it been like covering this Iowa State program? What have you learned about this program, not just this team, but Iowa State, its fan base, and just the proud history it has?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I think coming into the year, I don't think that there was expectations that they would be a number two seed in the NCAA tournament and you know, finish second in the Big 12, which was probably the best conference in the country again this year. I think the biggest thing I've learned about Iowa State is, you know, their fans are awesome. Like they have a great understanding of what they are, what their expectations should be. They're super appreciative of the athletes, the coaches. And that can be rare in today's like college athletics landscape. I mean, I use Kentucky basketball as an example right now. Like there's a very large segment who maybe rightly want Don Calipari fired, but then it's like you throw names out there of like who they could hire and they hate every name. Yep. So like some fans just can never be happy, but I think Iowa State fans are so happy with the basketball program and TJ Otzelberger, and they love Matt Campbell as well on the football side and what he's done for them and turning a historically pretty down program into a team that's routinely going to bowl games.
So TJ Otzelberger, this is his second Sweet 16 in 3 years. I believe the first Cyclones coach to ever get to two Sweet 16s. How did this team get there? How did he get this team to be a number two seed and make the Sweet 16?
Yeah, it all starts on the defensive side for them. And I think a lot of people have kind of figured that out at this point. And anyone can log on to KenPom and see they have the country's best defense. But their defense is so, so relentless. A lot of people maybe don't like watching Iowa State because they don't love watching defense. But, Jeremy, you're going to get an opportunity to see a defense that plays like very few others do in the country on Thursday night if we're able to stay up past midnight, because I'm sure you're a big fan of the tip-off time.
Yep.
But they're just so relentless with their ball pressure, and they're so active in the passing lanes, and it leads to improved offense this year. The past 2 years, their offense was, you know, more or less unwatchable. It ranked outside of the top 100 on KenPom, and Otzelberger's first year, I think it was like 172nd in offensive efficiency. Think about how hard it is for a high major team to rank that low in offensive efficiency, but they did. And it was good enough for them to, you know, be, I think, 7-11 in the Big 12 in his first year and advance to the Sweet 16 after beating, I think, LSU in the round of 32 that year. Maybe it was around a 64. But this year's team has improved offensively from where it has been in the years past. They have improved shot makers. Taman Lipsey's improved greatly as a shooter this year. He went from an 18% three-point shooter a year ago to about 30 to 33% this season. Keyshawn Gilbert's a really good bucket getter for them at the guard position. And then Milan Mamsilovic is one of the most crafty and skilled freshmen that you're probably going to see in the country. I hate to like make this comparison because it's not fair, but he kind of plays like Dirk. Like he's got some Dirk to him with his footwork, his shot mechanics, and he kind of self-admits it too. It's like he kind of sees those. If you get a chance to talk to Milan about it, he'll kind of say like, yeah, there's some similarities to it there. And I think all of that has combined for the offense being – a lot better than it's been in the past, but the offense is also better because it plays off of the defense really, really well. And I think that, you know, you combine those two things, you've got a team that in a Big 12 that was still really good this year, but maybe not as good as it's been in the years past, with Kansas being a little bit down, you know, Texas not being as good as they were a year before, was good enough to finish second in the Big 12. And, you know, now they're here in the Sweet 16.
Obviously, Illinois lacks that true point guard, so that is going to be tested against Iowa State. And there's not a lot – I mean, there's not really a team in the country quite like Iowa State, let alone the Big Ten. I mean, Penn State's probably the closest, and we saw how that went for Illinois. It's a different kind of pressure, right? It's not like full-court pressure. It's more this trapping, really aggressive in the half court. So what do you think Illinois has to do? Like, what – what if teams, not many teams have been successful? Because I saw Washington State handle it for 15 minutes, Alec, and then all of a sudden they just wore them down. Like Iowa State's pressure just kind of wore them down. So what does Illinois have to do to handle that and give themselves a chance against this defense?
That's the thing. Like, no one's been able to handle it this year. And I think one of the reasons it's so difficult for them to handle Iowa State's opponents is because you can't practice against it. Like, you just can't replicate it in a scout. And as someone who, like, watched Illinois a good amount last year and this year, like, I think it was a big perk of having Sincere Harris because he can just be a big pest on the ball in practice this week. But you need, like, four other Sincere Harrises to do it effectively. So I would imagine this week in practice that Harris has spent a lot of time guarding Argus Damas, Terrence Shannon, because that's kind of the most similar thing that they have to Taman Lipsey and Keyshawn Gilbert with the ball pressure. I think what's going to be really interesting to me, and I know that Illinois has kind of gotten a little bit away from booty ball in the last couple of weeks, is Marcus Damask and his ability to not turn it over. I know it's something that he's been really good at this year, but again, he hasn't seen a ball pressure that Iowa State puts on people. The only team that's comparable is Houston in the country. And I think Tennessee does a really good job of it, but and the offense was a little bit different then, but the biggest key for me is, can Illinois not turn it over? And I don't think that they're going to be able to get into a ton of booty ball action. I don't know if they're going to be able to get the ball into the paint the way they have been able to in recent games, just because of how good Iowa State is at cutting off driving lanes and how good they are at, you know, stuffing the paint. And even when they do allow teams to get into the paint, especially if Hassan Ward's in the game, they have an elite rim protector, someone who's 6'10" and a really good shot blocker. But it's just a havoc defense that puts a lot of pressure on offenses and makes them really uncomfortable.
Is there anything that you think this Illinois offense, the number one offense in the country, can do to make Iowa State's defense uncomfortable?
Shoot it well. I think coming into the year, right, like there was a huge expectation that this Illinois team was not going to be a very good shooting team. And I don't think they're an elite shooting team by any metrics, but they are a pretty good shooting team. They shoot the three well. They're what, like a 35% three-point shooting group. And they take a high enough volume to where they can make enough threes. And Iowa State will allow teams to shoot the three well against them, or at least shoot a high number of threes. So if Terrence is shooting it well from three, if Luke Goody is shooting it well from three like he did in Omaha, Marcus has come around since the start of Big Ten play, and obviously Coleman has proven to be a pretty good three-point shooter this year. I think that could really hurt Iowa State defensively because they're willing to allow teams to make the three. And, Brad Underwood's got a much different analytical approach to playing defense than Iowa State does. His is force tough twos, don't allow layups or threes. And Iowa State's is, we'll allow you to shoot threes because we're going to force a ton of turnovers and it's going to lead to layups on the other end. And it's very interesting to kind of see those two different analytical defensive styles approach. But yeah, if Illinois shoots it well and doesn't turn it over a lot, I think that they're going to have a pretty good opportunity to win. It's just one of those things where they turn a lot of people over a lot.
Yeah, no, best set in the country. So offensively, Iowa State's offense not as much of a machine as Illinois, but they could probably – Illinois' defense is not the machine that Iowa State's is. So what issues could Iowa State give Illinois with their offense?
Yeah, they don't do anything very creative offensively. And I know a lot of times Iowa State fans maybe get frustrated with that. There's been times where I've, like, turned to different people on press row. I'm like, this is just brutal what they're trying to do. At the same time, though, I often say that, like, I think the national rap that their offense gets is fairly unfair. Like, it's not the offense of the last 2 years. It's a top 50 offense in the country. It has been for most of the season. There was about a month-long stretch, three-week-long stretch at the end of the regular season where it slipped down to, like, 60 or 70 in KenPom's OER ratings. But in the postseason, it's gotten up, back up into the top 50. And what they do a lot of offensively is trying to get their guards into the paint and allow them to kind of create for teammates, whether that's kicking to Momcilovic on the perimeter, kicking to Curtis Jones on the perimeter. Both of those guys can make shots, or Lipsey or Gilbert will try and force a layup up. So I think that, you know, that's where it all kind of starts for them. Curtis Jones off of the bench for Iowa State is super valuable. He didn't get any Big 12 mention from the coaches. The Big 12 doesn't do a media poll at the end of the year. He wasn't even an honorable mention. Didn't win Sixth Man of the Year, which I kind of think he was unfairly robbed of, to be honest. I thought he deserved at least an honorable mention. He's a pretty good shooter. Shoots about 33, 34% from the perimeter. And the biggest thing, and there's not a way to grade this, but I feel like he's such a big clutch shot maker for Iowa State. They obviously didn't score for like the first 6 minutes, score a field goal for the first 6 minutes against Washington State. And he stepped in and hit a huge three. Later in the first half, he hit a three to tie the game at 25. In the second half, he hit a couple of more big shots against Washington State to kind of help Illinois pull away just a little bit. And he's really important for them. Mamsulovic is someone who can score at all three levels. Now, I think Illinois will be happy to let him take his mid-range twos, his fadeaway jumpers, all those things. I mean, I think any coach would be happy to let a guy take those. You just have to understand, if you're an Illinois fan, that he may convert on 40% of them. But I think that that's a really good opportunity for Coleman Hawkins to match up with him, given his length, given his athleticism. If Quincy Guerrier kind of brings it, which I know has maybe been a struggle for the last couple of months since his big streak of double-doubles, I think that could be a capable matchup for Quincy Guerrier as well. But yeah, I think it's one of those situations where their offense doesn't do anything overly impressive, but if Illinois can't stop their dribble penetration, if Terrence struggles on the ball, if Ty Rogers struggles on the ball, they're going to struggle a little bit more than I think Illinois fans maybe realize on the defensive side.
How is Iowa State in transition defense? Because obviously Terrence Shannon is on one there. He usually gets 10 points that way, 10 points at the free throw line. Do they have the type of transition defense to slow him down?
Yeah, they're capable in transition defense. They really struggled against BYU on the road earlier this year. They lost by like 15. But BYU's an interesting transition defense to match up to. They don't BYU doesn't attack in transition to get layups or dunks. They attack in transition, space the floor, and hit a three, which is kind of funny. But they play better against TCU in transition defense. TCU is a team that plays some of the fastest in the country. They're the fastest team in the Big 12. Iowa State won on the road at TCU 73-72, but they nearly blew a big lead. But Taman Lipsy didn't play that game because of a shoulder strain that he suffered in the loss at BYU. And then they also beat TCU 71-59 in Ames, and they were better that game, I thought. I was a little bit concerned with the way that they would play against Baylor in the Big 12 tournament. They were better against Baylor than I anticipated, but I also just don't know if I think Baylor was actually that good this year. They were good. They weren't great. They're a fine transition defense. They don't have any elite athletes to like run with Terrence Shannon, but I don't think that they have a bunch of poor athletes that can't run and keep up with Illinois in transition. I just think that Illinois is elite in transition offensively. So if Illinois is able to, get defensive rebounds and go and outlet passes, they're going to get buckets on the other end.
All right. You know these two teams really well. So give me an X factor for each side.
Yeah. I think for Illinois, there's two for me. And I kind of hinted at it a little bit earlier. To me, it's Marcus Damask and being able to handle ball pressure. If he's able to do that, I think Illinois could actually do an okay job offensively. If he has less than, three, four turnovers, I think that Illinois' offense could be in a pretty good spot just because he initiates so much for them. And I think the other one is Coleman Hawkins able to do the same thing while also being able to hit shots? Because right. I think Iowa State will let him shoot it a little bit. Rob Jones will play in a deep drop coverage, I would imagine, but he'll also, step out to the perimeter if he has to. Hassan Ward will do the same thing. If Coleman shoots it well, which he's obviously capable of doing, I think Illinois' offense could have a pretty good day. On the defensive side for Illinois, like I said, I think it's stopping dribble drive. It's keeping Keyshawn Gilbert. It's keeping Taman Lipsy out of the paint. So Terrence is going to have to be really good on whichever one of those two he guards, and I think he's probably going to switch between the two of them. And I think the other X factor there would then be Ty Rogers, who probably matches up against the other one. And you could see Justin Harmon when he's in the game match up there. You could see Damask maybe take one of them. I don't think you'll see Luke Goody do that, but I think that you'll see any combination of two or three guys end up guarding Lipsy and Gilbert. For Iowa State, I think it's keeping Illinois out of the paint. They do such a good job of sticking to their principles defensively, and I hate to make this like a coach speak thing because I hate it when people do that, but that really is what it is for Iowa State defensively. It's keeping people out of the paint and sticking to their principles, because their principles are so unique and a real challenge for opposing offenses to match up with. So I think if Iowa State's able to do that on the defensive side, they're going to be in a better position, because then Illinois is forced to maybe throw up some threes that they don't want to. Trying to think, like, who's a team? Nebraska, the game in Champaign, where they just kind of like threw up a ton of threes. I think that that's something that you don't want to see Illinois do. When they play kind of inside out and they get to the rim and then that opens up the threes for Illinois from the perimeter, I think that's when their offense is really at its most successful.
Well, we got a heck of a stacked region here. Defending champion UConn with the defending runner-up San Diego State and the other Sweet 16 matchup. But for my money, Alec, this is the best matchup of the Sweet 16, maybe Creighton, Tennessee up there as well. So this is going to be a phenomenal one. It's hard to pick this one, right? Like, I went back and forth of who I think has the advantage here, but that's why I think it's such a good one.
Yeah, I think it's great. And I think, you know, a lot of people are maybe complaining that there like wasn't a ton of upsets in the first weekend or double digit seeds to get to the Sweet 16. Don't count me in that group of people.
I agree. I'm with you.
Yeah, like last year, the Final Four last year was horrible. Like, you had, I guess, one really good game. The San Diego State FAU game was awesome, but I'd rather watch Duke and Carolina like I did the year before in that same game, just because the brand, I guess, and you can call me a brand homer or whatever you'd like, go ahead. But yeah, I think
I like the best teams. I like the best programs at this point. I love the first round upsets, but at this point, give me the best games. That's what I want.
Yeah, because I don't want to watch St. Peter's get 25 pieced by UNC in the Elite Eight. Like, UNC should not have had a path to the Final Four there. Not UNC team was talented and they ended up playing for a national title. But yeah, like UNC blasted St. Peter's. No one wants to see that. Yeah, I think that this game is up there. I think Tennessee, Creighton, like you said, will be a lot of fun. I think that Duke and Houston could be good if Duke plays hard. I question Duke's toughness. I think that could be a really good one. I think Bama and UNC could be a ton of fun from a scoring perspective. And then I think the game everyone wants to see this weekend, right, is Arizona UNC, Carolina Caleb going against his old team. But yeah, I think that this is potentially the game of the Sweet 16 because styles make fights and everyone likes two opposite styles kind of going at each other and seeing which one comes out on top. And I am a big believer that like offense has a really good offense, has the potential to be good defense in basketball just because shots go in for really good offensive teams. So we'll have to see if that kind of comes through for Illinois or if Iowa State's able to force enough stops.
Yeah, it's a great test of the theory. Offense wins championships or defense wins championships. Brad Underwood kind of believes now in offense wins championships. We'll see if that happens this weekend. Alec Bussey, great insight. Cyclone Alert. You can check them out on the Iowa State 24/7 sports site. Great work as always, Alec. Appreciate your time, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks a ton for having me on. I've been listening to the pod since I was in school, so it's always cool to kind of go on somewhere where you've been listening for a long time. And certainly appreciate all of your advice and all of the help that you've kind of given me throughout the years.
Appreciate you, man. See you at TD Garden.
Yep.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, Derek Piper, live in Boston. Derek got TD Garden Arena behind him, and I am in the media room here as we're covering a Sweet 16 here. Derek, at number 2 seed Iowa State gets number 3 seed Illinois. We're recording this Wednesday evening around 6 local time, so we still got like 28 hours before this game tips off, but it's cool to be here, man.
Look at us, Warner. Look at us. We were covering an NIT at some point, watching selection show from home, and we're at the Sweet 16. So we've just been following along. I haven't made any shots this season or anything like that. I'm not trying to take any credit, but it's a lot of fun, really cool venue, and can't wait for Thursday night.
Yeah, I was about to say we should get all the credit for this, right? All the hard work, the sweat, the big shots made. Big stops made, not as many of those, but a lot of big shots made for this team. But what a phenomenal matchup, Derek. We've talked about it all week. I had Michael Tulip on. We just heard from Alec Bussey, who covers Iowa State.
If you missed that interview on the YouTube channel, go back, listen to that. Another great breakdown of the Cyclones. But let's focus. Let's do five keys here for Illinois against Iowa State in their first Sweet 16 matchup in 19 years. I'll give you the floor. Key number one for Illinois against Iowa State, and it's number one ranked defense nationally.
Got to limit turnovers. That's obviously a huge thing and something that Brad Underwood talked a lot about throughout this press day today. And you look at the analytics, they're number two in the country and forcing turnovers. And I think that's something that's really going to test Brad Underwood's roster build with this team. As you look at Marcus Damask being your central point guard now, you weren't able to get a true point guard in the portal, swung and missed there. So I think, can you run your offense, not get disruptive? Because Iowa State's ball pressure is really disruptive. They get into you deep into the backcourt. They definitely want to turn a team that doesn't score it all that well, turn defense into offense. I think for Illinois, you've got to limit those pick sixes, as Brad talked about today. And can you just be able to be ball tough, get into your offense, and not get just overwhelmed with the Iowa State team that's going to play their butts off and really get into you and try to make you uncomfortable?
Illinois actually has been pretty decent this year, despite that lack of a true point guard, of not turning the ball over, Derek. 53rd in the country in turnover rate, which is a positive there. Obviously going up against a different team, though. Like, they haven't faced anything like this. Luke Goody compared what Iowa State does to Nebraska, but Iowa State's got better athletes, quicker athletes, especially on the perimeter there, probably better rim protection than Nebraska as well, because Alec is not a rim protector. Rink Mask is not a rim protector. So how do you expect Illinois to handle that pressure? And it's a different kind of pressure. It's not always full court, right? It's a lot of trapping, a lot of over-helping. And they get in rotation a lot, which could open up some three-pointers we'll talk about here. But how do you expect Marcus Damask and Terrence Shannon, Ty Rogers, Coleman Hawkins to deal with that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that there obviously are reference points on both sides of it. I think in spots, Illinois has had those issues really come to fruition, where the Penn State game, you turn over 19 times. About late at Michigan State, obviously, when you melt down there, turnovers were a big problem. But like you said, on the whole, this has been an offense that has, for the most part, taken care of the ball. So I trust Marcus in terms of knowing where double teams are coming from. He's done a great job of that all year. It is going to be executing in the moment and not getting too sped up or having something that surprises him as far as the scheme standpoint goes. But using those double teams to your advantage to create some open shots. And then, of course, that's going to hit on another key that we're going to talk about. You got to be able to make those as you pass out of those things. So I think that bringing that help, though, if you see Marcus struggling a little bit deep in the backcourt as he's trying to get it across half court, if they are extending it deep, I think at least inside of the half court line, they will be looking to get, you know, 30 feet now to get into you and try to make you uncomfortable. To have an outlet guy, a guy that can take some pressure off. Maybe it's even Coleman Hawkins at times, yeah, coming out there and being able to just shoulder a little bit of the load and allow you to settle into your offense a little bit more. So they're going to try to bother Terrence and try to make it hard for him to get downhill. Yes, like you said, their rotations are all about really clogging up the lane. They're going to just get magnetized towards that paint and then leave some of the corner shooters and some other guys on the perimeter open and try to recover and close out. They're fine with you taking three. So I think Illinois will have their moments of turning it over. You just hope it's not a rash of turnovers like 14, 15, because then you get into some real trouble.
Yeah, I do think it's going to be a big Coleman Hawkins game. I think he's going to be the ball in his hands a lot, and his decision-making, his shot-making is going to be really important in this one. My key number two here, Derek, for us, I'm going to go offensive rebound, and I'm going to steal it from Luke Goody. I had this as a key. I'm sure you will, too, in your three keys in a pick. But Illinois is one of the best offensive rebound teams in the country, 16th in the country, while Iowa State, not a great defensive rebounding team, 196th in the country. There are open opportunities, and Luke Goody said, our goal is to get 40% of our offensive – to get 40% of the rebounds on our offensive side. And for a team that does – allow a lot of threes, a team that is not the best defensive rebounding team, this is where you want Dane Danger, Quincy Guerrier, even a Luke Goody, right? Ty Rogers, those guys to really clean up on that glass to get some easy points against a team that at times is going to be really hard to score against. So I think those offensive rebound opportunities are going to be huge for this team. Illinois is a better rebounding team than Iowa State. They need to own the glass.
No doubt. Yeah, it's really the one blemish at Iowa State's defensive profile is that they don't clean the glass all that well. I think in Big 12 play, they were dead last in defensive rebounding rate. So while they do everything else well, turn you over, get stops, don't allow shots at the rim, they will allow those second chance and even maybe third chances within a possession. So Illinois, that's a strength of theirs. So that's something that they really have to hone in on, where it can be tough to come by in terms of clean looks, or just can be a defense that bothers you. But if you're getting an offensive rebound, obviously chances at the rim, obviously also the stats say that that's usually where you can get fouled a lot, and maybe you put some fouls on people. So their front court's athletic, but it's not like you're not dealing with a bunch of 7-footers. And that's something where when Dane's in there, he can get after on the offensive glass. You know, Ty can play above the rim and get some offensive boards. But I'd even look too, I know Terrence will probably be taking ideally a lot of those shots. Terrence can go to the offensive glass as well. I mean, this is an undersized backcourt for the most part. I think that they don't get a lot of guard rebounding. So from the perimeter group as well, I think that's an area where Illinois can get in there and go. And that is something that Illinois really will, if they can get double digit offensive rebounds, second chance points, that's something to kind of counteract some other parts of Iowa State's defense that can make your offense a little bit more ugly than you'd like.
All right, Derek, I'll hand key number three to this game over to you.
Transition. I know you can say that pretty much about any game with Illinois and Terrence Shannon, but especially with the way that Iowa State executes in their half-court defense, you don't want them to get set back there and play really in their rotations like we talked about, and to be in their comfort zone. So I think you can hit them quick in transition, open the floor, because their half-court defense is going to do a lot in trying to clog up driving lanes with Terrence Shannon. If you put him in the open court, it's a lot better of a situation for him to get out and go downhill. I think that's something that, looking at some of their stuff, their metrics from earlier in the season, there have been some teams that have successfully hurt them in transition. BYU was a team, did a little bit differently than maybe Illinois would. They were hitting them with threes on the break, but just that quick hitting offense, get a rebound and go. Kansas, TCU, there's some offenses that have found success doing it that way. So I think that's important for Terrence, because it's so hard to just cut him off, and he could put fouls on if it's Tamin Lipsey, if it's Curtis Jones, if it's some of, you know, Keon Gilbert, some of their guards or whoever it may be, trying to get in his way. It could just be a way for Illinois to get that attack and make them play kind of in scramble mode, versus if they score, you're taking out of the net, they're in their defense and they're getting set and knowing where it's coming from. It's a lot better if you can get that stop and go.
Yeah, and those are going to be his best looks at the rim, because Robert Jones, good rim protector. Hassan Ward, good rim protector for them. So they're going to clog that lane, as we talked about, in the half court. So to get those looks for him can get him going as well, and just get those easy points, man. That's what he does, getting those 10 transition points and 10 free throws a game. Those add up, and you're going to need those against this Iowa State team. The other part of that, Derek, is getting defensive rebounds. This Iowa State team is pretty solid on the offensive glass. Like, Tamin Lipsey will get after the glass. He's a big body guard, only 6'1", 200. He's got a good offensive rebound rate. Jones and Ward will get after it too. So key to getting in transition is getting those stops and getting those defensive rebounds. So that'll be big. But yeah, Shannon seemed unstoppable. But those are the points that just add up so quickly for him. All right, key number four for me, Derek, is the other guys need to step up and make shots. As we talked about, Iowa State's going to get the ball out of Domas' hands. They're going to try and trap that. And then you're going to get them in a rotation. You got to take advantage of that. You got to move the ball quickly against this defense, because they can recover really quickly. But if you get them in rotation, you get open shots, you shoot them confidently, you're going to need Coleman Hawkins potentially to make some of those. You're going to need Quincy Guerrier, Luke Goody. Maybe Justin Harmon finally gets one to go down. Feels like it's almost been, more than a month since he's made a three-pointer. Like, those guys got to be ready, be confident, and make some of those shots. Some nights you're not going to make them. You hope it's not an off-shooting night, but you got to take them confidently, and you got to move that ball to the opposite side really quickly.
That really could be the difference in the game, is whether those guys can step up and make those shots, because they're going to be there. And when we talk about rotations, like, the rotation itself is going to be towards the lane. So if they're going to double, they're going to send the guy from the opposite wing towards the paint and lead that skip pass open. So same thing in ball screen action. They might send two to the ball, and then the roll guy or even Coleman on a pop, they'll rotate over towards him, and whoever's on that opposite side in that corner or that wing is going to be left, and they're going to trust that they can close out well enough with their guys because they are athletic and they can fly around and make those type of reads and reacts. But also they'll just live with you taking jump shots. They're fine with playing the game of we're going to turn you over. We're going to – by the stats, they allow the fewest shots at the rim in the country. So they love that about their math game that they're playing. I know Brad likes to play a math game too in terms of the way that they play defense, but this is just a different way to go about it. But you can really skew the numbers if you make those shots. Of course, you got to move the ball well enough. You got to be able to react, not be hesitant. And that's another thing that I'm really looking forward to out of Illinois is like Coleman's got to take that shot if it's there. Luke Goody's got to take that shot if it's there. I like the confidence and the mindset that Luke has here recently. Like you said earlier, I think Coleman is going to be just huge in terms of being locked in and making the right plays. Quincy's got to make that shot. Justin, if he's in there, I know we haven't seen it in a while. Dre Gibbs Lawhorn knocked down two in the tournament game here, late in that first half. So I think that's really, really important. Even beyond just kick out threes, I think cuts off the ball from the weak side where there's open space, getting those complementary pieces involved and being able to score is going to be important because this defense is elite and going to very much lock in on Damask and Shannon primarily.
Yeah, and that attention that you get from Damask and Shannon, like that could open up things in that dunker spot for Dane Danger and Ty Rogers. Dane mentioned that today, that they could take advantage of that. But also, even if you miss the three from the corner, Derek, they're rotating. Do they get a body on somebody? And you got an offensive rebound put back. So those are going to be really key for the line to just really stay focused on that. But Illinois also needs to stop Iowa State. Like Iowa State's offense is not a juggernaut or anything like that, but we know it's a strong team. We know Illinois has struggled to stop teams that aren't great offensively at times. They put up, 69-41 win over Houston, not an offensive masterpiece, but this team has put up 82 against Texas Tech, can get into the high 70s here. And I think dribble penetration, Derek, is something that Illinois has struggled with, staying on guards. Terrence Shannon has done a really good job here for the most part lately. I thought Ty Rogers was really good against Duquesne. But against Taman Lipsey, against Keshawn Gilbert, they're going to need to stop those guys because those guys are really good at penetrating the paint and getting to where they want to go.
Definitely. Yeah, they have a lot of capable guards. When you look at Lipsey being a first-team All-Big 12 guy, obviously defense is a big calling card for him, but also just a really good table setter in the pick and roll and can get to the rim. Like he can get to the basket. Like you said, he's physical. He can absorb some contact. He can also just pull up and shoot it. Curtis Jones off the bench brings some scoring as a guard that can attack. Keyshawn Gilbert is their leading scorer as another guard that's 6'4" and pretty good athlete and can slash off the dribble. So they need that, obviously, try to complement their defense with a scoring punch. And Illinois, like you mentioned, I don't worry about whoever – Terrence Shannon is going to be guard. Like that guy's going to probably have a tough night because Terrence is just that dialed in, that athletic, that consistently impactful. It's whether Ty Rogers, Justin Harmon, Marcus Damask, if he's on a guard, Luke Goody, if those guys can stop just dribble penetration, be strong enough and impactful enough on the ball to not allow Iowa State to get comfortable, not to get downhill, not to break you down. So that's something that Iowa State poses with those. I think that three-headed monster at guard, it's a different challenge with, and he's worth mentioning, Milan Momcilovic, who's a 6'8" skilled forward that can make shots. But if you are allowing their guards to get in the lane, live in the lane, break things down, that maybe opens things up for him to get shots. And it kind of reminds me, now that they're not the same as far as a team, but you know, Michigan State gave Illinois a lot of problems with Tyson Walker, AJ Hogard going downhill. We saw even like Max Klesmet on Ty Rogers have some, that was a problematic thing at times in Madison. So there have been moments where outside of Terrence, Illinois has struggled stopping the ball. And I think that's something Illinois definitely has to be dialed into. I think that their on ball defense and intensity has been pretty good here of late, and definitely need that to show up on Thursday.
Can't wait for this matchup. I think it's a great matchup. This Creighton, Tennessee, I just think those are the matchups that really get me excited about this Sweet 16, Derek. Late tip off here, 10:10 local time, and probably going to be a little bit after that. But we're going to be geared up for this one. You got an X factor for me, Derek? I think it's Coleman Hawkins. Like, I just think that rotation, his decision-making, his ability to move the ball around, even if it's a skip pass over the top to that corner three, or just his ability to make shots. Like, if they're spending all that time paying attention to Damascus, then Coleman Hawkins goes for 18 or something like that. That could be the huge difference in Illinois being able to win this game. And obviously defensively, he's big. I think he could guard Momcilovic at some point. But do you have an X factor for this game?
I think Coleman's a great pick. I'll take Quincy Guerrier for doing a little draft here. But I think that I like the way that he performed in that second round game against Duquesne, against a good team that's physical. And this is obviously a different level of athleticism and physicality. And he even said it when I talked to him in the locker room after that win there in Omaha. I was like, Iowa State is pretty much a matchup that's built for him. Like, it's a game where you think about kind of grown man basketball, gritty, tough, just a war around the basket. And Quincy's that guy that Illinois hasn't had in recent years. I know he's been inconsistent over the last month or so, but as far as offensive rebounding, we know that can be a big strength of his. He can be a double-double guy. He can be a guy defensively that has had some good moments. Other times it's been not as good. So I think that getting the locked-in version, the not out of position, the not lunging version of Quincy Guerrier is really important. And I think he's someone that Iowa State's probably going to allow to take some threes. And on the whole, Quincy's shot it pretty well this season, especially even of late. I think that, you know, he's been hovering around high 30s or so from three as far as the percentage goes. So if he can step up and make 2-3 threes, can get after on the boards, play some good defense, he could have a big say in Illinois whether they're going to move on to the Elite Eight or not.
Yeah, I think if you get that confident version of him, I think that's massive. What was the latest line? Have you seen the latest line, Derek?
Iowa State -1.5 last I saw. Yeah.
I thought that moved from three, which I think it opened up 3.5 for Iowa State. I'll give my pick. I don't even know if you picked yours because I've put mine out there. I'm not trying to be a homer. I think this is a fantastic matchup. It is a true toss-up game. Two really, really good teams. I think if you're doubting Illinois, it's one, the lack of a point guard, and two, they just haven't had a win over a team like Iowa State. So that's something to question. I just sided with the team with the best player in college basketball over the last month and a half. Terrence Shannon has taken his game to another level. I love how Dane is playing at this point. Marcus Damask is locked in. So you're going to need those others to step up. But Shannon's just got that look right now that I just don't know if he will be denied in this one. Iowa State's a great chance to do that because they feel like the team most equipped to do that. But I had Illinois 82, Iowa State 79, probably higher scoring than it will be. But I just feel like Illinois' offense is just a juggernaut right now. And I think Iowa State will have some struggles with them. Tight whistle might help them. Getting to the free throw line might help Illinois.
No doubt. Yeah, no, I think that's going to be – now, I think you're like me. We don't love when it's overly focused on the officiating, and that can get drummed up on Twitter and whatnot. It is going to be very interesting just to see in what should be a very physical battle when Shannon decides he – I'm sure he will a number of times drive into the teeth of that Iowa State defense. How is it officiated? Are they going to let it go? Are they going to call fouls? It's so hard to square him up. But also on the flip side, Iowa State's a very handsy team, a team that's going to rake for the ball. And are they going to get called for reaches? Or are they just going to let that go? Maybe they might get a wrist. The ball pops free. Are they blowing that whistle? I think that's something that's going to be really interesting to kind of evaluate.
I think you can see Brad Underwood working the officials most of the night. Yeah.
No doubt about it. So, and Illini fans are going to have a lot of time to pregame for this one. Not saying that Iowa State won't have some turnout as well, but, yeah, I think that's going to be also. I'm with you, though. I don't have my exact score. I think it will be by a possession or two. I think it'll be a tight game, but I'm going with Illinois. I think that it's going to be tough for Iowa State, even though the metrics say that if you look at the rankings of the other side of the ball that's not as strong for both sides. Iowa State's offense in the last month has been around the 55 to 60 range. Illinois' defense is still around 100. So the metrics say that Iowa State's offense has actually been better than Illinois State's or Illinois' defense. But I just think that, like you said, best player on the floor. I just don't think that like Terrence and Marcus are guys that are going to get completely shut down as far as even though it's a great defense. And Iowa State, I think, will have spurts of struggling to score. So I think Illinois prevails in a tight one and that we have one more to cover beyond that. And we'll see. We'll see. It's a great time of year. And UConn should beat San Diego State, but, you know, crazier things have happened.
Let's just say if Illinois makes its way to the Final Four, boy, have they earned it. It might be an easier path to get to a national title game than actually get to the Final Four based on the two teams that they're going to play here in Boston potentially. Derek, can't wait for tip-off, man. It's here, and we get to cover a Sweet 16 game.
Can't wait. Let's go get a Sam Adams.
All right. Thank you all for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcast. Like the page on YouTube. We appreciate you guys subscribing and hitting the notifications bell as well. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Rated PG-13.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.